Yes, it's that time of the week once again. We're here for the Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. We've got some fantastic action this weekend with the Sandown Jumps finale, and ITV also showing a couple of races, one from Haydock and one from Leicester. As always, on these postcasts, joined by an excellent panel, we've got Graham Robway and James Hill from the Racing Post, and from Unibet, our usual man from our sponsor, is Ed Nicholson. Great to have Ed on board once again. A really good show last week. We had plenty of winners, and Montregard, we'll talk about Montregard later on the show, but coming out of the Scottish National meant that Keith Melrose actually had his second selection, Cap Ver, go and win the National at 25-1 at the time of recording, which was a superb selection. We also had some other great winners. We were all very, very sweet on conversion as well at Newbury. So a really, really good week, and hopefully we do the same again. Everyone loves this card at Sandown. Great way to go out of the jump season towards the back end of April. So let's get straight into the show then, gents. And we're going to kick off at Sandown. We've got four great races to preview there, and the first of which is the 145. This is a novices championship final handicap hurdle over 2 miles, and currently Kara Strau from the Skelton team is the 3-1 favourite. Cosmic Connection 6-1, Manella Yoga 6-1, 10-1 about Cocktail Blue with the sun out at the moment. Oh, what I do for a nice pineapple cocktail in the sun. Will Stars 11-1, Next Twist is 12-1, Secret Stinger is 12-1, 14-1. Bar these, and off air, we can start off straight away with Jimmy Hill, who said he was quite sweet on one in this race.
Yeah, I am, Sam. Manella Yoga is the one I like here. Very good record 4-year-olds have in this race. They've won 3 of the last 5 runnings, and they get an £8 allowance from the older horses. I think that's a lot this time of year. You know, we're nearly in May, well deep into the season, and they're still getting quite a hefty chunk of weight from everything else. And Manella Yoga's already beaten his elders. He's already taken the scalp of quite a good horse in Act of Innocence at Newbury back in December. That one has since finished second in the Turners at the Cheltenham Festival. He's now rated 149. Because of the allowance he's getting here, Manella Yoga, he's only going to be effectively running off a mark of 1-2-4. So I think he's got plenty going for him. He comes into this off the back of a victory, will light the ground, and his form's worked out well. So I think he's going to go very close.
Okay, Manella Yoga, yeah, currently 6-1 with Unibet. Graham Robway, it was quite interesting here to see Chris Gordon send 2 fairly nice horses into this race. You've got Cosmic Connection and Cocktail Blur. Chris Gordon, obviously, towards the kind of spring-summer time, he tends to have plenty of winners as well. There's 2 good jockey bookings, Sam Twiston Davies and Tom Cannon, booked aboard these horses. But you've also got the Skeltons, top of the market, championships there for them to take. So who are you with?
Yeah, it's a great race, isn't it, Sam? I do like this race. Tends to throw up a good horse or two, doesn't it, down the years? Yeah, Chris Gordon does well in this type of race, and Cosmic Connection won in a really good time, I thought, at Chepstow last time. And it's clearly going to be difficult to beat. Manella Yoga was behind Maestro Conti, wasn't he, in the race at Cheltenham, the Triumph Hurdle trial. And of course, Maestro Conti went on to finish second in Triumph Hurdle itself, so that form's pretty strong. I thought Manella Yoga was the most likely winner, Sam. But, you know, there is a Derby runner-up in this race, and he's a massive price. Now, I think I remember you, me and Ed were all sat there at Epsom a couple of years ago watching City of Troy win the Derby, and Ambiente yeah. Friendly come there cruising all over him with a couple of furlongs to go. He wasn't able to get to him. Is it beyond the realms of possibility that at a huge price, Ambiente Friendly just might all get it right on the day? It's good ground. I think that'll bring his class into play here. His big problem over hurdles has been that he doesn't settle. He pulls too hard. But we've got a nice big field here. I think they'll go a good gallop on decent ground. This might give him half a chance of settling better than he has done. He's rated 117 over hurdles. I mean, he was probably rated that on the flat nearly, wasn't he? He's absolutely thrown in if he can find anywhere near his old flat form. And I just cannot let him run at such a huge price, given we know that the engine's there. It's just a case of whether he can put it all together. Massive price for me, Sam. I'm going to take a chance on the Derby runner-up, Ambiente Friendly.
He is 33-1 currently with Unibet. I mean, Manelli Yoga mentioned a strong kind of main selection potentially with Graham Robway, but a nice each way selection, Ambiente friendly. Ed Nicholson, I don't know how much you remember of that day with myself and Graham at Epsom and City of Troy won. It was a really, really good day and obviously a real classy winner of that race. But the second Ambiente friendly, is it possible that you could go and run a big race at big price?
No, it's not impossible. Graham's put up a good reason why he's overpriced. It's just that this race normally, if you go through the records, suits an improving novice hurdle that's going to actually improve for next year, either going chasing or going hurdling. I don't see this Ambiente friendly being top class over hurdles or a good handicapper. So interesting though. I mean, I'm going for a horse from a stable that I've backed in this race for the last 2 years. I backed Fireflyer and I backed Fazzle, who came 10th and 3rd. I'm hoping that Manila Yoga can finally get me back on track again. I think I backed Napa's Hill back in 2022 when he won. And Paul Nichols, as James has said, does love this race. And he's won it two times and he's been placed on three other occasions in the race with just 15 runners. But it's a race that he definitely targets. When Napa's Hill won it, I was told that he targeted that race for months. And he's the same with Fire last time. He runs Manila Yoga, who is in the same colours as Firefly, actually. I think they went with Firefly to that race at Taunton that Manila Yoga won. I haven't checked that, but from memory. And it's a stepping stone they've used before. And I totally agree with James. Four-year-olds have got a great record in this race, and they do get the weight for age. And I would expect Manila Yoga to go really well. And I would also expect him to be backed. I think they might get behind him. He's 6-1 or thereabouts at the moment. And the form, as already been said, has really worked out quite well with Manila Yoga. The horses that beat him at Cheltenham, where he wasn't 100% straight that day. Maybe the softer ground didn't suit him as well. But he finished three lengths behind Maestro Conti and then another length to One Horse Town, who've both run well in grade ones and grade twos since then. So the form stacks up, and obviously we've spoken about his victory against Act of Innocence. I mean, I think this could be a bit of a steamer on Saturday. And I think 6-1 is not a bad price, but it is a competitive race. And whatever you do, look back at this race for the beginning of next season, because there'll be plenty of winners here for the next season, and whatever they do, chasing or handicap hurdling. And also, Sam, I should say, we're doing money back second or third in this race, and or we've got the option of the extra place. In every single ITV race, there's an offer from Unibet this week.
Perfect. Yeah, we will come to Ed. I was going to mention we will come to Ed for any offers on particular races throughout the programme. But Manelli Yoga, a strong selection from the panel, it seems, but a nice little mention for a 33-1 shot, Ambiente friendly from Graham Robway. Moving on then to the 220 at Sandown, it's the Oaksy Chase, the Grade 2 on the card, just shy of 2¾ miles here. And Blow Your Wad, is the 6-4 favourite. Doyen Quest is 5-2. Matterhorn is 130. Etalon 8-1. Mahon's Glory 16-1. Teddy Blue 25-1. And Ventura Highway is the outsider at 33-1. Lots of things seem to be in favour of Blow Your Wad here. Graham Robway fourth in the Ultimab before coming and winning at Chepstow. Obviously, Chepstow being a course that the Moors do very well at. But Sandown seems to be a real hunting ground for the Moors, and they tend to do well at this kind of meeting. So is he the worthy favourite in this field?
Definitely the right favourite, Sam. Yeah, he's the best horse in the race. A lot of his form is either over further or in big field handicaps, isn't it? And he can get a bit outpaced and then rattle home. And around Sandown, it's not the longest of straights, is it? You know, coming to that pond fence, a quick turn into the straight. Yeah, he'd probably get away with it. Last year, this was won by the Gold Cup winner, wasn't it? Gaelic Warrior. And 3 years ago, it was won by King George winner, Hewick. Don't think we're going to see anything of that sort of level here. I think Blow Your Wad is by far the most likely winner. However, I am going to have a small little bet on his stablemate, Ventura Highway, who is the complete outsider of the field and has got loads to find on ratings. But he is the youngest horse in this race, Ventura Highway. He's got by far the most potential upside. And I think it's interesting that Gary and Josh Moore are pitching him straight into Grade 2 company, first time out in Britain. It's just hard to know how good he might be. And the Moors, like you said earlier, have got a fantastic record at Sandown. And again, it's just another one that, at a ridiculous price, I cannot let run without my money on it, Sam. So I'm on another massive outsider. It's Ventura Highway this time.
Another 33-1 selection, Ventura Highway. But yeah, Blow Your Wad seems the one they've all got to beat at the top of the market. Jimmy Hill, do you share a similar opinion there that Blow Your Wad's the likely winner?
I don't know, Sam. He's a funny horse. I do think, actually, he'll be happier going this way around. I think he's a better horse going right-handed. He's been in good form this season as well. But I just think on this ground, he might need a bit further these days. I could be wrong about that. I mean, he's had a long old season as well. Doyen Quest, I think he's probably the only one who would, I think, get close to Blow Your Wad in terms of the form he's shown this season. He ran well here when he was second to Salva in December, jumped really nicely that day. He ran in a Grade 1 at Aintree last time, finished fourth. I mean, he was outclassed there, but otherwise he's been pretty consistent. Crucially for him, I think he's a much better horse on good ground. He's run six times on good ground and he's won five of them. So that's really good news for a lively surface like this. Yeah, I mean, providing he's not over the top, I think he could run quite well. As I said, he's a nice little jumper.
Okay, there you go. So, yeah, it's going to be an opinion of our viewers, and do let us know in the comments whether you're going to be with the favourite here or against the favourite. Ed Nixon, with or against?
Against. He's already been opposed in the anti-post market since the runners came through. Not the anti-post, the day of event now, isn't it? Market since the runners have been declared. And I can see why, because I going through his form, he's a horse that they rarely run on ground without some sort of softness in it. I think he's run four times on good ground. He has won on good ground, but I just think he's a kind of horse that Gary and Josh Moore do well with. And when I think of Gary and Josh Moore horses, I think soft ground. Obviously, that's probably wrong, but that's what I think. And there's a horse here who's exact opposite, who will really relish fast ground. And we've got good ground at the moment. And last week, I remember Keith was talking about it wasn't going to go heavy. It never goes heavy at Ayr. Well, the rain radar suggested it was going to be soft and heavy. He thought it'd be good to soft and soft. I thought it'd be soft or worse. And it is so important that you get the ground right. And we're doing this 2 days in advance. So it is difficult. And that whole day at Ayr was probably changed because of the depth of the ground that are going heavy. But in here, Sandown, I think it can only get faster. I don't think it's going to get softer. And I like Matterhorn, who is a real fast ground horse. We don't say that often these days. This horse has been waiting for the better ground. Ran in the Sussex champion chase last time, got beaten by a massive improver, but was well clear. That was over 2 miles one at Plumpton, which is a sharp test, I would suggest. This is 2 miles 6.5. He's never gone further than 2 miles four. I find that really interesting. They've obviously thought long and hard what to do with this horse. He's getting to eight now. He's only got maybe a couple more years at his prime. They've decided to go up to 2 miles 6.5. They've waited for the fast ground. And Paul Nicholls loves this race. He's won it three times in 22, 21 and 20 with Sir Calvados Frodon and Black Corton. Not as many as a four that Menora won, who's named in the race title. But nevertheless, he still does love this race. And I've just got a feeling that they might not even hold him up. They might just go from the front because he's such a great jumper. And when he won at Uttoxeter over 2 mile four on good ground, he led most of the way and cruised. So I'm really strong on Matterhorn. And I think Blow Your Wad might drift if it gets any quicker. We're going super boost in this race.
Okay, super boost in this race. And yeah, doubling up with the Nicholls horse in the first two races for Ed Nixon, Matterhorn in the Oaks. And I'll give a fair mention here for Marne's Glory as well, who should run a big race from the front and will like the ground for the Dylan Cunha yard. Let's go on then to 2:55 at Sandown, which is the Celebration Chase. It's the Grade 1 on the card, just shy of 2 miles, where John Bon, he's back once again, 6-4 favourite currently with Unibet. Fisalask is 2-1, Solness 5-1, JPR 1 is 12-1, along with Mirabad, who was a shock winner at Aintree at 12-1, Edward Stone, another old boy, 16-1, and Brookie is 50 to one. Jimmy Hill, we have the Jonbon versus Fissilas, the repeat of the Clarence House Chase. Will Jonbon end the season with a huge high?
No. I think Fissilas will beat him. I think he should be favourite. Sam, some people will be surprised I'm saying this. I don't get what connections of Jonbon are thinking, really. They are initially saying the plan was to miss Cheltenham, run him at Aintree and step him up to 3 miles. Mm-hmm. They ended up running him in the Ryanair at the festival. He was beaten there again. He's missed Aintree. Now they're dropping him back to 2 miles. And last time, of course, over 2 miles, he beat Fissilas. But that was 2 mile 1. He needed all of that trip to beat him. This is a furlong and a half shorter, and the ground is much quicker. And he's had a long, hard season. I just think Fissilas, I mean, he's been primed for this. Missed Cheltenham, missed Aintree. I think he's going to take a lot of beating here. He'll probably get taken on for the lead by one or two others, which will make it fast and furious. But his jumping's super slick, so it'll be fascinating to see how he goes along those railway fences. Yeah, I think he should be favourite. I think he should be favourite over Jonbon.
Okay, the champions, the Skeletons, go out with a big winner in the Grade 1 on Saturday for Jimmy Hill. Really fascinating. I'm sure I'm going to speak to Ed now, but I'm sure there'll be a blog and Nicky Henson's thoughts on Jonbon ahead of the weekend, which will be interesting to hear what he has to say. But yeah, we all love Jonbon. Everyone loves Jonbon. He's a legend of the game, Ed. But is he worth taking on here, in your opinion?
I can see why you would want to take him on over this 2 mile trip, for sure. I mean, you know, Nicky's wanted to run him over 3 miles for a couple of years. But he keeps on doing the business at every race he goes for. I think the difficulty with Nicky is that JP kind of maps out where he wants his horses to go, and Nicky sometimes doesn't know until the last moment. He was 4 out of 4 at Aintree, so I was surprised he didn't go to Aintree. I remember we discussed it. Would he go to Aintree? Would he go to Sandown? Would he do both, or would he do neither? Well, he's come here, and, you know, to be fair, he's got a fantastic record at Sandown as well. 7 times he's been to the course, 5 times he's won, and the other 2 occasions he's come second, and once in this race, and he's won the 2 years before that. So I see why you would think about taking him with this last. But when I saw the prices, I actually thought it was a fair price for Jonbon. I thought he'd be shorter. I think this last will get support. You might also get people supporting Mirabad at a big price, but I don't think he can win. Incidentally, Dan Skelton has only won 3 Grade 1s all season. A phenomenal achievement to win the Trainers' Championship and also to have a winner at every course this season, 41. That is tremendous. And his horse is in great form. I actually spoke to him last week at Haydock, where we sponsored the Silver Trophy. And his horses are in great form. And, you know, you wouldn't say that he wouldn't have a winner on the final day where he gets crowned. And I think Thistle Ask has got a chance. But I like Jonbon. I liked his price as well. So I'm going to keep faith with Jonbon over 2 miles.
Okay, Jonbon, Fred Nicholson then. There's only one man who knows what or whose day it's going to be on Saturday, whether it's going to be Jonbon's day or Fissilas' day. Whose is it going to be, Graham Robboy?
It's a real conundrum, this one, isn't it, Sam? Because, like Jimmy said, really, he looked like he really wants further, Jonbon. And even in the Ryanair chase last time, over 2.5, coming down the hill, he was hard under pressure. JPR1 was going a lot better than him, who is actually in this race. JPR1 travelled a lot better than Jonbon. Turning for home, JPR1 was still with Hartwood, and Jonbon was back in third, being pushed along over 2.5. You know, and then Jonbon outstayed JPR1 near the line. So going back to 2 miles on good ground in a race that is going to be run at a furious pace, you would think. I mean, I hesitate to say this, right, because all of the clever analysts come on here and they say, oh, Fissilas and Solness and JPR1, you know, they're all going to go a million miles an hour. And then what happens is the connections of Solness, Fissilas and JPR1 all go, you know, there's a lot of pace in this. Why don't we just sit off it? And then before you know it, they're not going as fast as you think they are. So sometimes races don't always work out as the experts think they're going to. But on paper, you would say this is going to be run at a really fast pace, with Fissilas going off really quick on good ground like he did at Ascot. When again, at Ascot, he had Jonbon hard under the pump. turning for home. John Bond could barely keep up with him, and he just outstayed him towards the finish on soft ground. A stiff uphill finish at Ascot. If Fislas gets the same sort of run at him, he might well beat him on good ground at Sandown. But he has had 98 days off, and he was on a rapid upward trajectory before that big break. I mean, I don't really see that as a positive. You know, a horse that was really thriving and going along and making great progress, then suddenly off for 98 days. I don't think you can absolutely guarantee that he's going to come back in the sort of form that he was. I thought Solness had a hard race at Aintree. I thought it was a really good run, but I thought it was a really hard race. I'm going to back Mirabad. I mean, I'm going to hope that there is the pace that I think there is going to be with Solness, Thistleass, and JPR1. And yes, it was a 50-1 outsider, but he travelled beautifully through that race at Aintree, and I thought he was mightily impressive. And the connection straight afterwards said that he was transformed by a hold-up ride and good ground. Well, he's definitely going to be held up here, and he's definitely going to get good ground. He's the youngest horse in the race. He's the up-and-comer. And he might be able to spring a surprise. So I'm going to take a chance on Mirabad, Sam.
Okay, it was the second string for the Moors, or what's considered the second string for the Moors in the last race. And you've gone for what's considered the second string for the Skeletons in this one. Mirabad 12-1 with Unibet currently. Jimmy's with Fissilask and Ed with John Bond. Do let us know down in the comments who you fancy for this race. I will reply to as many as possible. Really like the community we're building on the podcast here. Plenty of people approach myself, Graham Robway at Doncaster. We have plenty of people come up to us. Ed's had plenty of people on course as well. Do let us know down in the comments if you're watching. Do let us know who you're backing. We love to engage with the podcast community. Right then, let's go on to the 3:30, then the big one of the week, and it's the Bet 365 Gold Cup Handicap Chase, 3 mile, 4.5 furlongs, which sees Havela for the Moors 9-2 favourite, Indoor 5-1, Montregard is also 5-1, Road to Home 7-1, Ask Brewster 7-1, Resplendent Grey 12-1, Transmission 12-1, 14-1 bar these. Interesting that last week on the show, Graham Robway, that Johnny Pearson and Keith Melrose were both very sweet on Montregard for the Scottish National. Obviously, he's come out of that due to the ground. Potentially could go well in a race like this. I know it's going to be a little bit shorter than the Scottish National, but Montregard did very well to win last time out.
Yeah, I had him pinned for a big handicap chase in the spring. After he won that race at Ascot last time, he recorded a very good time, and it was a fast finishing speed, which I always like. I always think if you can run a strong overall time and finish the race off strongly, it shows you must have a good degree of ability, and I think that Montregard has definitely got that. Like you say, he was in the Scottish Grand National. I backed him last week. Still haven't picked my money back up yet from him being a non-runner. This is a different type of race, though. Around Sandown, you really need to get into a rhythm. It's not as long a straight as Air, and it's also a hot race, I think, even though there's only 14 in it. There's a lot of potential improvers in the race, obviously Havela being right among them for the Moors. The Moors have won all the big races at Sandown, you know, Tingle Creeks and the Imperial Cup. I don't remember them winning this one, so they'll be desperate to add this to their tally, won't they? However, it's that time of year, isn't it, Sam? It's Punchestown next week, and Willie Mullins is going to bang in winners left, right and centre for the next 7 or 8 days. You can guarantee that. And you can back one of the master trainers, runners here, not as favourite, which I think is a gimme, really. Road to Home ran a cracker when he was second in the Kim Muir. The form looks okay. Monbeg Genius was fifth in the Irish Grand National. Kim Rock, who was behind him, was third, I think, last week in Scotland, wasn't he? In the Scottish Grand National. Road to Home finished ahead of them all. He's up £6 for that run, but he's still a 7-year-old lightly racing. Open to plenty more of improvement as a stayer, and I think this will be Willie Mullins again. Unfortunately, Sam, I don't like to see loads of Mullins winners. I like to see them get spread out amongst all the trainers, but I think Willie Mullins will win this. He won it 2 years ago, and he had the second and third last year. Road to Home, his only runner this year. Patrick Mullins on board.
Yeah. Mullins doesn't miss, as Graham Robway likes to say. And yeah, good price. 7-1 with Unibet about Road to Home, and was also, I think, an intended runner potentially last weekend in the Scottish National as well. So coming here instead. Jimmy Hill, who do you like in the Bet 365 Gold Cup?
Yeah, Rodders has just said it. Road to Home. as he has rightfully said, Willie Mullins at this time of year is just so good. We see it at Punchestown. We saw it in Britain the last couple of seasons when he was challenging for the title. While everything else, all the other yards, their horses are just kind of have had enough. His runners are only just peaking because he doesn't really get going until about December time. And I can't believe Road to Home isn't shorter in the market. He's had Mullins 75% of those who've made the frame in this race for the last 2 years. And Road to Home's form got a boost in the Scottish National. I know everyone says Indore and Montregard, their form got a boost through Cap Vert winning. Well, Kim Rock was only just behind Cap Vert, and he, of course, ran in the Kim Muir, in which Road to Home was second. So I think he's got to have a good chance, probably better than he did in the Scottish National when I fancied him, because the ground's more in his favour. And he shouldn't have any trouble going this way around. So, yeah, I'm with Rodders on this one.
Okay. Jimmy Hill with Road Home as well. The postcast alarms are going off, Ed Nicholson, for a hat-trick horse potential here. But I feel like you're going to spoil that alarm. Or are you not?
Well, I think they've got the right race to look at, but I think they've got the wrong horse to select. I can't see why Ars Brewster can't beat Road to Home again. He's I think, a pound worse off for a neck. He stays all day. He likes good ground. He's nicely weighted. He's an improving seven-year-old like Road to Home. And the thing about Road to Home is he's only won one race. He runs really well and often gets placed. I think he'll definitely get placed. He'd be the banker for the place pop. But I think he came there to win the race last time, and he didn't do the business. Halfway up the run-in, you would have thought he would have gone away, but he didn't. And I just have something in the back of my mind. When I looked at his form figures, he doesn't win very often. So, yeah, I think it's the right race, but I can't see why Ars Brewster isn't going to run equally as well, if not better, than he did in the Kim Muir. I mean, everyone's spoken about the form. The form of the race has worked out very well. I think Ars Brewster is another horse that will love the fast ground, or the faster ground. And he's only, if you forgive him, his fifth in the London National, which was on good to soft ground, where he was fifth. He's got a magnificently progressive form line. 1-1-1-1. So I'm going to go with Ars Brewster, who hits a number of the stats facts, if you go through them, for horses that win this race. I love this race, going back all those years ago. I know I harp on about Unibet and sponsored races, but Whitbread, this was one of the best race sponsorships there's ever been, and it's great that Bet365 have kept it going, but back in the day, it was a really good race. So I always thought it was over 3.5 miles. They've taken half a furlong off somewhere, but it's a great race. There's a lot of horses here that are older. I think five of the field are 9, 10, 11. They just don't win this race. I think one 9 or 10-year-old has won it about 100 have tried in the last 10 years. It goes to progressive horses that like fast ground, and the two we've spoken about are the two that I'd go for, Ars Brewster and Road to Home. And Montregard, you've got to throw in as well, because he kind of fits that stat tax as well. But yeah, I'm going to keep on with Ars Brewster to win a game. And we're going extra place here, as you would expect. 14 runners, yeah. 5-1 the field.
I was going to ask, but yeah, I've seen it here on the Unibet website. I have 14 runners, but yeah, you've got four places in this race. So Ars Brewster, Fred Nicholson, and Road to Home for the two gents from the Racing Post. Right, we're going to get on to the flat shortly after this.
You're up early, checking going reports, scanning trainer form, hunting for market movers, watching all the replays. What if it was already done? The Edge delivers everything serious punters need every morning at 8 a.m, either straight into your inbox or on racingpost.com. Going stick analysis that takes the guesswork out of going descriptions, percentile scores showing which trainers and jockeys are genuinely hot and which are not, overnight market moves, eye catchers from our analysts who also open up their horse trackers just for readers. All the insight with none of the legwork. Because if you're going to bet seriously, you need a serious Edge.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post. Sam Hart, Graham Robway, Jimmy Hill and Ed Nicholson spinning you through the ITV action. And we head to the flat for two races from, we've got Haydock and Leicester to go through. And we're going to look at the 2:35 at Haydock first, which is a 7 furlong Class 2 handicap, which sees Cozzy Bello as the 7-2 favourite, Sarab Star 4-1, Kazif is 9-2, Great Claim 15-2, Caburn 8-1, double figures about the rest of the field in here. Switching disciplines to the flat, Jimmy Hill, who did you like in this?
I like Sarab Star here, Sam. One of the main reasons for that, he looks to have, well, he has got Tom Marcon on board. Now, that's very interesting. I always think he's a very eye-catching booking for Jack Channon. He has a 33% strike rate on Channon's older horses. And I think he won on one of his last weekend at Newbury too. Sarab Star, so he didn't fire on all weather finals day last time. But that was over six furlongs. I think his best form is over this trip. It's mostly on the all weather, but he hasn't run on turf for a long time. Not really since he began his career. But back then he won on debut at Salisbury. So I don't think he has any problem with the surface. I think he's well treated. Got good back form. So I'm expecting him to go nicely under Marquand here.
Okay. Sarab Star and Channon's obviously started the turf season extremely well. Graham Rodway, there were a few that I liked in here. I like the look of Marshman, who was an exceptional younger horse, but clearly looks well handicapped. And my good friend Darkness is in here as well as a big price. I can't imagine you're going to fancy that one. If you did, I'd be very interested. But who did you like in here?
Yeah, there's a lot of old favourites in here, aren't there, Sam? No, one of my better bets on the day runs here, and that is Caburn. When we were at Doncaster a couple of weeks ago, Sam, I backed this Ram Ram. Remember that?
Yeah, of course
I tipped him on this show, didn't I?
You did, and I got hugs and everything.
Yeah, might as well, you know, might as well plug my own success. Well, you know, I love a grey horse, Sam, and catching my eye back in third was Caburn, who came from a long way back to finish third behind a Ram Ram in that Camage trophy. He ran the final section of the race second fastest behind a Ram Ram, and I thought that he would benefit from stepping up to seven furlongs, which is exactly what he does here. He has run over the trip before when he was well beaten at Royal Ascot last season, but this is obviously a lot easier than that. And he's got a tricky draw. He's out in stall 12, which will put a few people off, but he is always held up, this horse. So I expect Hector Crouch would be dropping him in towards the back, and hopefully if he can get round that bend, it's a pretty sharp bend that comes up quite quickly over seven furlongs at Haydock, not too far behind. I think he's capable of picking this lot up. I mean, he's already been placed in listed company. I think he's got the potential to be a group horse, Sam, in time. He went up £3 for finishing third to a Ram Ram in the Camage. And I think this is a significantly weaker race than that he contested last time. So I'm on Caburn for James Tate and Hector Crouch.
Yeah, Caburn and Hector Crouch, I've mentioned on the show before, but I think it's better and better season by season. He's an exceptional jockey. I'm really looking forward to what he can do this year. Ed Nixon, I did hear that you also mentioned a potential group horse in a handicap before we came on air.
Yeah, I mean, there's eight horses at a higher rate than him in this handicap, so he's going to have to improve quite a bit to be a group horse, but I think he will. And it's the lightly raced Cosibello, who I have tipped up on this podcast before. And just to remind race goers, I know this horse very well. He was at Kempton on his second run, his first run as well, but his second of just four runs. And he put up a really good time figure. And I spoke to Charlie Fellows afterwards, and they had lots of owners, and he didn't want the owners to kind of think that they had a group horse, because everyone was saying this horse has put up a time that is serious for second time out, with a penalty at Kempton. And then I was at Chester when he should have won, I think, at Chester. Even the jockey admitted to me afterwards that he probably should have won. And then I tipped him up at back end at meeting at Ascot over a mile. They're all seven furlongs, and this was a mile over a straight course. Now, for a horse who's only having his fourth run and a £100,000 handicap, there was a lot of things that probably could go wrong. And, you know, one or two probably did. The straight mile, you know, that probably, he'd never run over a straight mile before. Obviously he does at home, but not in a race. He was drawn on the outside. If you watch the replay, the horses that finished first, second, third, all were on the inside, and they finished two lengths clear of him on the outside. He was the furthest horse on the outside, basically finished in the middle of the track at Ascot, which isn't always the best place to be. And he was, because he was only his fourth run, he probably didn't have anything to race against on his outside. So I don't think that helped him. And he's definitely improving. He's one of my horses to follow for the flat this season. I think he'll either pick up a really big handicap, Or he'll progress into be a listed Group 3 horse, I think. He does have to improve to win this race, and he certainly has to improve to do that. But I think he can. He's always been gelded. Came to the racecourse as a gelding. I just get the idea that he's needed a bit of time as well. So, yeah, I'm really sweet on Cosibello here. Already been backed in the offices and the betting angles already. I think it was 6-1, is now 7-2. And I like the fact it's 7 furlongs. I think maybe keep at sevens and go up to a mile if you need to. We are offering an extra place in this race. The only thing I would say about Haydock is I don't particularly like the track to have a bet on, because you can get stuck in a pocket, and horses seem to fly on the outside when you don't want them to fly on the outside, and they seem to find trouble in the inside when you don't want them to find trouble on the inside. So it's not a track I like to have a bet on, to be honest. But I've got to follow Cosibello off a mark of 95. I've just got to.
Okay, Cosibello, yeah, and Paddy Bradley in for a big season with Charlie Fellows as a new stable jockey. So they have plenty of horses to look forward to. Right, one more race to look at. The 205 at Leicester is the 6 furlong King Richard III Cup Handicap Class 2 event. Fast Track Harry 9-2, Zulu Chief 13-2, £10, and Berkshire Whisper 15-2. Strike Red is 8-1. Prince of India and 5,000 to 1, 9-1, double figures. About the rest, nice quick selections to finish things off. Graham Robway, please.
High Fancy Fast Track Harry. He's the son of Harry Angel, who of course was trained by Clive Cox, if memory serves me right. Does it?
Yeah.
Thanks. he looks to be on a rapid upward curve to me, having won two of his last three starts on the all weather. And last time out, he was well beaten at Kempton, but I actually think that he didn't run as badly as finishing position suggests that day. He finished 7th of 11, but they went a real rocking old pace up front, and he was right on the speed. The first two, I think, were held up at the back and came from a long way back. And I have a feeling that maybe Fast Track Harry just did a little bit too much too soon that day. And I think that you'll see a different horse here. Going back on turf, he's got form, plenty of form on turf. He's bred to go on turf. Clive Cox got great record at the track. If you backed all of his horses in the last 5 years there, you'd have made nearly a £30 profit to a pound. I do like Clive Cox in these types of races, and I think he'll get the best out of Fast Track Harry.
Fast Track Harry for Graham Robway. Jimmy Hill, please.
Yeah, I'll go for one of the old boys here, which is Strike Red. Finished second in this race last year off a £12 higher mark. And he goes pretty well at Leicester overall, actually, because the only other time he ran here, he was only beaten half a length. Lost his way a bit last season after that second. But much better on his reappearance last time when third at Newcastle on the all-weather. That was a similar RPR to the prep RPR he recorded 12 months ago before he ran in this. And if he was to record a similar RPR to what he achieved in this race in 2025, you'd have to think he'd go very close indeed. So I'm hoping age hasn't worried Strike Red.
Okay, Strike Red, 8-1 with Unibet currently, and Ed Nixon finishes off with the eye to the action.
Yeah, Zulu Chief for me. Heather Main, been lucky enough to been to a stables a few times with Numitor, having won the Unibet Middle Distance Veterans Chase, and they've always liked this horse, Zulu Chief. You might remember he won a maiden at Newbury at 150-1. And he's been rated up to about 96, 97. He's back down to 90. He's done all right on the all-weather, but he's probably more of a turf horse. Came second in a big handicap at Newmarket. In fact, like one of the horses I mentioned earlier on, he won his race on the stand side. The horse won on the far side. And he beat a good field that day on the near side. Only three horses raced on the far side. He was Billy Lochnane's 100th winner at Wolverhampton 2 runs back. And I think he can be his 11th winner at Leicester on Saturday. Billy Lochnane, one of the jockeys to follow, as we all know, that rarely gets it wrong. He rarely finds himself in the wrong position. Sometimes the horse aren't good enough. But yeah, I really fancy Zulu Chief here. And he's around about 7-1, I think, at present. To win the race at Leicester. We're going extra place in this race as well. It's quite a competitive race.
extra places here, then, yeah, Billy Lotnan and Oshie Murphy, they'll be fighting out the championship according to the betting this season. Right, that's the ITV action. We're going to get the naps shortly after this.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out, you're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 Uniboosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Graham Robboy, Jimmy Hill and Ed Nicholson. Now taking you through any other selections and our best bets. Each of the gents have got one selection, so I'm going to give them 30 seconds to make a case for them, starting off with Jimmy Hill.
Yeah, C-Suite in the 4:35 at Weatherby on Sunday, so not on Saturday. This one's stepping up to a mile, initially rated 82. He's now for mark of 74. And his all-weather mark is £3 higher as well. So he's well handicapped and ran well at Musselburgh last time.
Okay, 14 seconds, perfect. Good going, Jimmy. Graham Robway, for you, please.
I'm hoping to be at Sandown on Saturday, Sam. So the last race, hopefully it's not the get-out stakes. Hopefully I'll be in front by then. Trust in Times is a horse that I've had in my tracker since he finished second at Kempton over Christmas in a race Willie the Builder won. That's a subsequent winner. The third has won since, and the fourth, I think, has won twice since. That form is really strong. Trust in Times was well beaten last time at Aintree, but he never got into that race for one reason or another, and he's well worth another chance here in the 5:15 at Sandown.
There you go. 21 seconds from Graham Robbo for his selection. Ed Nicholson, challenge, go.
21 seconds to go. The 4:40 at Sandown, I really fancy Calamistic. Nicky Henderson's progressive novice handicap chaser. 2 from 2 on good ground and 1 from 1 at Sandown. Beautiful looking animal. I think he could make up into a really decent handicap chaser over around 2.5-3 miles. Calamistic for me in the 4:40 at Sandown.
There you go. Under 15 seconds. Exactly what I wanted. Let's get the best bets then, gents, for the weekend. This will come from the ITV action. I'll kick things off. I'm going to take Blow Your Wad in the 220 at Sandown. I just think the Moors are in such good form. They love having winners at this meeting. I think he is the class horse in the race, and he'll take some beating around 6-4. Graham Robway, your nap is?
I'm with Caburn in the 2:35 at Haydock. You know I love a grey, Sam, so let's hope that Caburn can do the business.
Okay, Caburn for Graham Robway then. Jimmy Hill, please.
Yeah, Manelli Yoga for me in the 1:45 at Sandown. I think he'll run really well. He can continue the good records of four-year-olds in this race.
Okay, and Ed Nicholson finishes off.
Yeah, I'm really going to adore the chaos of Sandown on the final day and go for the bet in the big race, the 3:30, the Gold Cup there. I really fancy Ars Brewster to continue his good form of late and win another big handicap on an ITV card.
Okay, there you go. Naps are on screen there. Myself, Blow Your Wad, 2:20 at Sandown. Graham Robway, Caburn in the 2:35 at Haydock. Manelli Yoga for Jimmy Hill in the 1:45 at Sandown. And Ed Nicholson with Ars Brewster in the 3:30. Do head to Unibet for all the terms and conditions around all the offers for this weekend with some great racing on ITV. Big thanks to my panel as always, Jimmy Hill, Graham Robway and Ed Nixon. We are back next Thursday and we have got the Guineas to preview. We will look at both Guineas, the 2000 and 1000 on the show, along with the ITV action that takes place to support those on Saturday. So yeah, look forward to that. If you are heading to Sandown, do enjoy it this weekend. Great card for the season finale. But until then, do like, comment, share and subscribe. And we will see you again next Thursday at 7 p.m.